I did like how Chewbacca was the original Greek. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense if you speak Wookiee.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the Bible Geeks podcast. This is episode 5. I'm Brian Sheely.
I'm Ryan Joy.
And let's dive right in here today. We've got some things to talk about. Let's do a little bit of follow-up from the last challenge, though. If that's okay. The last challenge, as you'll remember, was to choose a passage and meditate on it this week. How did that go for you, Ryan?
It was great. One of the great things about doing this podcast now is I have all these great conversations about spiritual things with people after the show airs, and that's been really cool. And somebody close to me told me that they end up doing a lot of their meditation on scripture whenever they can't sleep at night. And so they're just laying there in bed, as David talks about doing.
Yeah, my eyes are awake through the night watches.
Yeah. So I found myself a couple times this week just waking up in the middle of the night, and I remembered that. And so I started reflecting on some of the things that we've talked about, Psalm 1, reflecting on my favorite chapter in the Bible, Romans 12, because I can kind of run through that verse by verse, and on my texts for my upcoming sermons, and just trying not to think about the sermon, because then that gets me all spinning and all amped up to start working, but just reflecting on God's words and then settling back in. And I started a new practice. One of these times we need to talk about morning rituals.
Yep.
But I started a new practice in my day planner, where I just, at the beginning of the day, the first line below the date, I put in a verse for the day. And sometimes repeating that verse on multiple days, but that's been really neat. Just something to get me started thinking about it, and then continuing to come back to that every time I come back to my to-do list and things like that. What about you?
You're reading my mind, man. My practice in the mornings, almost every morning, is to sit down and plan out the day and all that other stuff. But one of the things that I have been doing for a very long time is identifying one thing to focus on for the day. Not one thing to accomplish, but really one thing to just use as the overall thought process or thing to focus on during the day. So that could be anything from like pursuing peace with people, or using an opportunity to talk to somebody who I hadn't necessarily talked to before about spiritual things, and whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so over the last week, I decided that associated with that one thing, I would find a verse or a particular set of verses to put in there as well as my daily meditation that had something directly to do with the one thing I was going to do. And so that's been really helpful. And not only be able to remember the one thing that I want to do for the day, but then also have something directly attached to it that grounds it, I guess, in scripture. So
yeah, that's neat. That's a neat tie-in. I do the same thing I call it my prime intention for the day. and just figuring on something that's a deeper than a task, but something focused on. I like that idea of tying in a verse with it. A little bit of brainstorming first thing in the morning, and then popping something in. That's neat.
I need to get better at branding, because I think I think prime intention sounds really intense. I like that.
I just brought up Star Trek in my lesson on Sunday night with the I mentioned the this is the Bible Geeks show, so I'll say I mentioned the prime directive.
Yes. Yeah. I was kind of going the Optimus Prime intention.
Oh yeah.
In my head.
Yeah, that works too.
Both equally nerdy on different sides of the world.
Right.
All right. So let's dive right in. And we're going to do something that Jesus said as the start of our show. I guess it's my turn now to give you a verse that we haven't coordinated on in advance. So for context here, we are in Matthew chapter 9, around verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples," now here we go, "the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So what do you think?
Well, those words about the harvest being plentiful and ready reflect right back, as you read that, to the helpless and harassed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've ever completely made that connection before until you read that, that as I look out at the world, I need to be aware and mindful of how helpless and harassed, how troubled and how difficult everyone's life and life situation is out there in the world, all around. You know, Jesus could just see into heart after heart after heart. He could look into people's eyes and see their pain and their difficulties. And, you know, this one is going through some problem with sickness or with their children, or this one is just so tied down in their sin and so oppressed by darkness in the way that they have let their life spin out of control that they just are all helpless and harassed, and Jesus has compassion. And that's why the harvest is ready, and that's why we need more people to go out and do the work. So that's the thing that jumped out at me as you read that, is that connection between why is it that the harvest is so ready to be plucked? And it's because of the great need of the world. And it's so easy for me to forget where I was. Not that I've got it figured out or anything right now, but I have so many blessings. I have so much peace and joy and love, and life isn't easy. But those deeper needs are so fulfilled, and I'm so satisfied in the Lord, I forget sometimes when I look out at just the people around me what the great need is for good news. What jumped out at you?
It really is that compassion that Jesus has, but then also that Jesus is saying to his disciples directly, your job is not to isolate yourselves. Mm. How easy it could have been for the disciples to collect themselves together in some kind of isolated way. But that's not what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to be in the world, in the middle of these people and helping them. And he was going to show them how to do that. Because as he said, they were like sheep without a shepherd. But He's there for them, and he wants his disciples to be there for them. We need more people to get out in the middle of the world and help them. And I think that scares us sometimes.
Yeah.
That we would be influenced by the world, or that the world would rub off on us. But the opposite needs to be considered, that if we don't go out into the world, if we don't go and teach other people, then they are continued to be harassed and helpless. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did a lesson at the end. Our theme last year was Set Apart, and I did a lesson to close out the year that I called A Contagious Cure. Mm. And the idea was just noticing how, you know, being set apart, that's what holiness is. But Jesus didn't, unlike the Pharisees, who the word Pharisee means separated, who separated themselves completely from sinners, from those who were living a lifestyle that all of God's people in Israel could see was a problem. Jesus went instead and feasted with them.
Yeah.
And that really bothered the Pharisees.
Oh,
that
yeah.
This is who you're spending time with tax collectors and sinners and just the worst of the world. And what Jesus is doing, instead of trying to avoid getting their sin all over him, which certainly is important, I'm not saying there's no place for watching out, but Jesus instead says, no, I've got a contagious cure that's going to make an impact on you, and I need to just spread it. I need to be amongst the infected. And then we have now Jesus, who is the contagious cure. And so we were infected. We could be infected again, but as long as we have high doses of Jesus constantly in our lives, you know, high exposure, then we can go out into the world and bring his cure to the world. And that starts to spread. It's a pretty cool thought, the way that Jesus changed the way that holiness was thought about, you know,
right.
It's not, and cleanness, where it's not you touch a leper and all of a sudden Jesus became unclean. Instead, he touched a leper and the leper became clean.
Yeah.
And then that same thing became true spiritually.
All right, so let's do another segment. We're throwing all kinds of segments in here all over the place. Yeah,
a new segment every week. We'll come back to some of those other ones.
We're going
to
revisit some of them here, but we're going to do a different one here this week, and we're going to call this A Few of My Favorite Things.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Bringing back Brian's favorite movie score.
My wife, she pointed out to me after that episode aired, and she said, you know, you should have picked Star Wars. I was like, yeah, I should have picked Star Wars.
But, well, I could have developed that more, yes. But no, it was perfect. Awesome. And it's become Netflix and Sound of Music have become the theme, besides the Bible, of this this podcast.
The Sound of Music geeks. So we're going to talk about a couple of our favorite things, and really, we're just going to go back and forth. This might be pretty quick, but we're going to go through three of the things, each of us, that have been of interest to us lately. And why don't you go ahead and start us off? Give us your first one.
Okay, well, you'll notice a theme in these. I chose three things that have to do with watching videos. And I've really loved, this is sort of a cheat, I'm throwing in an extra to set up the platform mm-hmm. here for me. I've really loved, there's a Logos software, which was life-changing for me. It's such a huge impact. I use it every day, all the time. But Logos has this TV app for watching movies. It's called Faith Life TV, and I have it. We have it on our Apple TV. We have it on our Roku. We have it on our Kindle Fire TV. And
Wow, you have a lot of streaming devices.
Yeah, we have three separate streaming devices for three different rooms, but all of them have Faith Life TV on them, and it is such great content. And so I want to talk about three different things that are on those. And last week I watched through the whole collection of videos they had on the Gospel of Mark. Mm. And it is a series of movies. All of the Gospels are represented in this series where David Batty is the director, and the Gospel of John was the first one. They use Aramaic-speaking actors, and so then there's just narration of the exact words of one of the Gospels over top of it, and it's beautifully shot. It's so interesting in its casting. I'm not saying everything is accurate. There's a lot of interpretation in any filmmaker's view of what was happening, but it seems to me that they've done a lot of research on the culture of the time, and so they're just really neat to watch. So I am preaching from the Gospel of Mark this week, and the way Faith Life breaks it up, there are these short little videos. Mm-hmm. And so you can watch like a little pericope being acted out, and then it ends and it starts the next one if you want to keep going. And I just meant to watch a little bit, and I ended up going through the whole gospel that night.
Yep.
And I've gone back to it, and it's really, really cool. And so then I started Luke the other night, and yeah, just recommend them. They're not only on Faith Life TV. All four of them, I believe, are part of your Netflix service, to bring back our unpaid sponsorship here.
Yeah.
So you can just, if you're a Netflix subscriber, you can just go and watch them. But I really liked Mark because it's 2 hours. It's, you know, Mark is such an action-packed gospel, and
you
get this great sense of who Jesus was. So that's my number one.
All right. So my number one, as we started getting going, I think maybe with episode one or two, we started getting a couple people sharing our show on Facebook. And somebody also said that there was another podcast that they like to listen to, and I hadn't heard about it, so I tuned in and started listening. It's the Excel Still More podcast by Chris Emerson.
Yeah.
Have you listened to it at all?
I have. I'm glad you put this on here, because I've really enjoyed it this week.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't listened to all of them, but I've started also underneath my prime intention. I have Eat That Frog, and then I have my number one accomplishment that I want to get done for the day. So those are my big three for the day.
Yeah.
He's one of us.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those guys that is just trying to grow.
I think it's just the practical tips for growth. If you listen to our habit episode, it's very much that same kind of idea, that same kind of sense, just finding small ways to grow, whether it's in your parenting, whether it's in your personal study. And then I think the latest episode I listened to was Motion is Lotion. And it's The title had me hooked. So mostly just talking about like ways that physical exercise actually helps us in our spiritual life. And that was an interesting discussion. And they're about 16 minutes, 17, 18 minutes long. Pretty easy to listen to. Most of the time I'm like, yeah, keep going, keep going. And then the episode's over. So,
all right. My number two, another video collection is, I may have mentioned, I don't know if I've mentioned the Bible Project on here before, but obviously with all of these things, standard disclaimers apply, not endorsing everything that anybody says all of the time, but Bible Project, they're a nonprofit animation studio that focuses on biblical theology. And these videos are beautiful. I have an art background, a graphics background, and they're just gorgeous. But I've particularly liked probably the less visually interesting collection of all of them. They're just kind of that old school, you know, how you sometimes used to see those whiteboard drawings. These are basically that. It's not a whiteboard, but they call the series, the playlist, Read Scripture. And in 4 minutes, 3 minutes, they go through an overview of a whole book. And that's how I like to think. I like to try to make sure before and after I study something that I have a handle on how it all fits together. And so I think this way, and I put these things together myself. I've really, really enjoyed those. And I think if everybody kind of had a better sense of what, you know, the whole book of Isaiah is trying to do, or what is really going on in 2 Corinthians or whatever, I think that really helps our Bible study, so that when we get zeroed in on two verses, we have a context for it. So I've really enjoyed those. Those are all available for free on YouTube, and you can download them from their website. So any of the Bible Project stuff I would recommend.
My second pick is kind of a strange one. So when I was looking for a new Bible, I was searching around for something that had a quality leather binding, and I ran across this Etsy store called Paul's Leather Company, and they have a ridiculous number of translations of the Bible, all bound in a variety of different types and colors of leather. And probably about a year ago, I pulled the trigger on one of their smaller ESV translation Bibles, a really nice leather cover. And, you know, you can get it stamped with your name on it, but I just went for the straight plain version. And the Bible itself is kind of a standard off-the-shelf ESV translation, but it's just a really gorgeous binding. And I definitely recommend this store if you're looking for a Bible that has a nice look and feel, and the binding is top quality. So check that out if you're looking for a new Bible. They have all kinds of translations, not just ESV, but even they have the study Bibles and the journaling Bibles as well, so that the ones with like the wider margins, so that you can write in it. And if you're looking for something to pick up, that's, they're not endorsing the show, but you know, that's my pick. So anyway,
yeah, oh, that's cool. We'll have to come back to talking about Bibles and Bible page design. A lot of cool stuff to talk about with Bibles, and that's interesting. I've never even heard of that.
You sent me a link to this silly photo the other day, a graphic of the different translations as they're represented in Star Wars characters.
Yes.
And that was
circulating
hilarious.
Yeah, on Facebook from different people. I love that. Yeah, that's, we'll also come back to translations at some point and talk about that. Not that there's one right translation, but there's a lot to talk about with translation theory and choosing a translation for different things.
I did like how Chewbacca was the original Greek. It makes perfect sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense if you speak Wookiee.
Yes.
So my number three is, I'll just make it kind of generic to start with, Bible lectures, videos of Bible lectures. I love the Logos Mobile Ed program. I've spent way too much money, to be honest. I rationalize it by a little budget for my work related, I call it, but I've really just learned so much
whenever I've had opportunity, especially really the only way I've found to really get study time is the lecture that I want to do and the resources I want to get into. If I'm teaching a class or a Bible study series or something on that, then I can really dive into it. And that has been just awesome. There's a lot of my favorite commentators on some books. For instance, my favorite commentator on Isaiah, John Oswalt, has a lecture and in this YouTube channel that a guy named Ted Hildebrandt has, and that's the name of the YouTube channel, Ted Hildebrandt. And again, these are, I think, mostly evangelical scholars. You're not going to find accuracy on every single thing, but there's a lot of really good information there in that YouTube channel for Ted Hildebrandt. So anyway, just watching a lecture, you know, maybe you're doing something else and you can put it on. You don't have to be watching it either. You can just listen to it, press play, set it on the seat next to you while you're driving. And that's been really cool. So that's my number three.
Nice. So my number three is a book that you and I have both started reading or most of the way through reading. I don't know if you finished it. I haven't finished it.
I'm with you. I'm working on it.
I'm
got it on Audible, queuing it up little by little.
Yes. So it's The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Obviously, throughout the book, there are things, as you sort of mentioned, the disclaimer, like, I don't agree with everything he says. However, he does talk a lot about discipleship and the narrow road, and really specifically about the idea of cheap grace, which I love the discussion about cheap grace, because that is a huge problem, saying basically that you can come to Jesus on your terms, you can follow him without any deep commitment. And his argument about that really is just that grace cost Jesus everything, cost him his life, and grace has to cost us something. Now, yes, obviously grace is free, it's freely given, but we've got to be willing to lay down everything, take up our cross, and follow him. And much of the book is really about how to do that. It's very dense. It's very wordy. However, I have enjoyed it, so that's on my list.
Yeah, yeah. You can't really listen to that at like 2x speed if you're listening to it.
Oh, no, you cannot.
There's a lot there.
No,
we're trying to grab on to highlights and that kind of thing to talk to each other about. And I think if people wanted to read the book themselves, maybe in a few weeks or a month, I think we're wanting to come back and have a conversation on the podcast about it.
Yeah. I think that'd be good. There's a lot in there to talk through, and definitely something that we're planning on getting into a little bit more. So check it out. We'll throw a link in the show notes with all these things and also The Cost of Discipleship. Did you know he was only 39 when he died?
Wow.
Yeah,
I was not.
I was doing a little research before the show. I was like, he was young.
That is young. That is young because I know, because I'm only a couple years older than that. So. Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine writing it with that proficiency. You know, I'm 36, so I have a lot of work to do. So let's get into our challenge for this week, and we'll talk about the challenge in a little bit, but we're going to introduce it by talking about singing. Why is singing important? Why does the Bible talk so much about singing? And it was interesting to me in our discussion about Psalms 1 last week, just how amazing it is that we have access to the Hebrew songbook.
Yeah.
That's in effect what the book of Psalms really is. It's the songbook for the Jewish people. And why is singing so important? Why is it so fundamental to what we've been told to do as one of the disciplines in the church?
Yeah. And to not just the songbook of the Hebrews, but of the church. The purpose of the book, you know, of course, you think of worship and all these things, but the purpose of the book is very clearly to instruct. And Paul recognized that, inspired by the Spirit, he says in Ephesians 5:19, to speak to one another, to teach each other, and speak in these psalms to build each other up. I think that's why it's so powerful, is because you can take this little bit of teaching, this little bit of directed meditation with you everywhere you go. And so I am very blessed. We are very blessed. Anybody who's been around hymns for a lifetime is just given this gift of these portable sermons that you just put in your pocket, and while you're doing whatever you're doing, you can have nothing in your pockets, nothing with you, but you have these hymns, these psalms that you know that, and then of course the music adds more than just a memory device. It really draws near in a unique way to the Lord.
Have you ever sung a song, thinking about the words, focusing on the tune or focusing on the harmony or whatever, and just gotten goosebumps from it? It just that natural, deep-seated human connection that we have to music. And that was something that God knew about and knew that we needed and created us to feel that way, which is why so many of the instructions throughout the Bible are to sing, because I think it helps establish that connection between truth and our emotions.
Yeah.
Singing with the spirit and singing with the mind also in 1 Corinthians 14:15. That thoughtfulness about the words, but that emotional connection to it, these things bring us closer to God, and this is what God wants us to do. And Jesus incorporated this in his own ministry in Matthew 26, verse 30. They had sung a hymn at the end of this time together on the Mount of Olives, and then they left. That's how they concluded their meeting, basically, was to sing a hymn. And I think it doesn't matter how you sing. Mm-hmm. And that's another part of it. Like, I'm blessed, I guess, to have some amount of musical ability, as you are. But, you know, I can imagine someone saying, well, I'm not a very good singer, or I don't have skills in that way. I mean, that doesn't matter. You know, really, that's not the intention here. It's not about like being the best singer there is. It's really just about making that connection, taking a lesson with you. And really, it's about teaching other people, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Instructing through those words.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I grew up with that Adrian has known from before we were married, I wanted to be a part of our family, is singing hymns in the car. And that was just a big part of my family, what we did. You know, my dad was not a games type person, really. He didn't go for a lot of silliness, but he loved singing. And we all came to love singing. And we would just be in four-part harmony hanging, you know, as we got a little older, singing in the car, as we traveled, as we went to worship or whatever we were doing. On the way back from Indianapolis, we went to a children's museum last Saturday. Our kids are slowly starting to get into it. And so we got all of them, we got the two older ones and Nadia into singing with us. And singing hymns, and those echo hymns work really, really well. Oh, fill my cup, I've been redeemed, all that kind of stuff, where they hear it and they can just sing the next part. And then they all have favorite children's songs, favorite hymns that they're teaching here. And it's just so wonderful. You brought up the teaching tool. It's such a wonderful way to start instilling these things in them. Even if they don't fully understand them now, we talk all the time about these stories that they bring up. You know, Asher loves bringing up One Little Shepherd Boy David and asking about, let's talk about that story. Now, what was going on whenever, you know, and just thinking through the parts and the images from the Sermon on the Mount and, you know, the light and the house that's built on the rock, and all of these ideas are so powerful. And I can talk to them about that through song much better than I can say, okay, sit down and I'm going to give you a 12-minute lecture on it.
Yeah, I think tying into Deuteronomy 6 that we talked about last week, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. The teaching of the law, of God's commandments, of God's will, needed to always be in their hearts, but also on their lips, and something that they were talking about. And he doesn't specifically mention singing there, but what a great tool to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because I honestly don't know if this is unique to me, because there's a lot of weird things that happen in my brain that probably don't happen in other people's brains.
Well, but could unpack that a lot.
Let's not. That'll be in our Return to the Baggage episode. But as you're going through your day, do you tend to notice that you have most of the time a song playing in the background of your brain?
Oh, yeah. I get them stuck in my head all the time. And obviously not just spiritual songs, but
absolutely not.
Unfortunately
sometimes.
Yeah. So Sherilyn knows my hot button songs that she can start singing and they will drive me crazy because they'll get stuck in my head. And so sometimes just to torment me, she starts singing a song and it's like, no, I don't want to hear that. We used to have a brother here who would not at all let you start singing It's a Small World. Because it would drive him crazy the rest of the day. But yeah,
that's pretty understandable. Yeah.
and I think that's just a tendency for us to get songs stuck in our head, which is maybe another reason why songs and spiritual songs are so important, that get this stuck in your head for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember when I was younger, they used to have, back in the old days, there used to be something called radio alarms.
And what?
Your radio would go off and it would start playing whatever was on the radio. And so you would just, you know, all of a sudden, luai or whatever is in your head. And it's there all day.
Oh, no.
And so I learned from that to start the morning with a hymn or a bunch of hymns. And I am a big time confessional time. I'm a big time shower singer, and I try to do it quietly in the morning when I get up and my wife isn't up yet, but it's important to me. I mean, we keep talking about spiritual disciplines. It's important to me because if not, I've got this something else playing in the back of my head. Our kids, a grandparent gave our kids this little microphone that the two babies love, and it plays songs that I don't like. And so I'm always singing these songs, have them running in my head in the background. And so I have to combat that with these spiritual songs. And so
I think that's every grandparents were given a handbook.
Yeah, what is
some
it
sort
with
of
that?
Manual. How to torment your children by giving your grandkids.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Parents, you don't need to get back at us. We'll get it on our own.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about holiness being contagious and Jesus' holiness being contagious. These songs become contagious. And so why not spread those? My speaking of grandparents, my mother-in-law, she always seems to be, when she's at our house and, you know, she'll be washing the dishes or hanging out in the kitchen or whatever, she's always singing or humming a hymn. And it's so wonderful because then I've got that and I'd kind of just join in, you know, walking by, making my coffee, singing along, and then I've got it with me all day. And that's a worthy thing to spread.
Yeah. One of the big texts on singing in the New Testament is Colossians 3:16. Mm-hmm. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I know one of your favorite words is richness, and that is exactly what this verse is about. But if you stop right there, you just kind of get this sense like it's this internal kind of thing. You just feel the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. But he goes on and he says the outpouring of that rich dwelling of Christ, of the word of Christ in our hearts, is teaching and admonishing each other in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So there, mm-hmm. It produces naturally out of our lips these songs of thankfulness to God. And I mean, that's just such a beautiful picture, that letting Christ's word dwell in us produces this natural desire to sing and give thanks for what we've been given.
Yeah, we all are carrying with us these secret worlds within our hearts, and singing is a manifestation of your inner reality. It's expressing. Expression is fun, you know, expressing yourself. Sometimes we shouldn't express ourselves, but people love that idea of I need to express myself. Well, this is expressing the good things that God wants to promote within you, and they come from making melody in your heart and then speaking. The word of Christ is dwelling in you, and then you teach. And yeah, that's a beautiful thought. And so it has to do not only with what comes out, but what you put in to yourself.
Right. There is really a tendency sometimes to let our worship not just in our singing, but in everything we do, be kind of rote or monotonous. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we get into a little bit of a danger when we sing songs without really having any meaning behind it or having any thoughtfulness behind it. And that's not what we're talking about. That's not the motivation for singing, is not just to check off a box. Okay, I did that. But yeah, when we make that connection between everything that God has done for us, you're gonna want to sing about it. And yeah, I think it just motivates you to do that. So
a part of that not being rote is not only speaking it, but we're speaking to one another. So we need to hear each other. And that's kind of a neat part of it that we don't always talk about. But if whenever we're together, whether it's, you know, Sunday morning or we're just together somewhere else, it's an opportunity to hear each other speak the most important truths from our hearts to each other. And this is, you know, it's just one of my favorite things in the world is just how God's people share the most important things. You know, I love to reflect on, and at the Lord's Supper, reflect on that Jesus is with us and every person around me is treasuring Jesus, his sacrifice. This is just like what it means to me. It means to that person two aisles over in this service. And the same thing happens when we sing.
Yeah.
We get the opportunity to speak these most important truths to each other. And that's pretty powerful.
I mean, just the nature of music itself. You can play a melody, but the melody combined with all the harmony, combined with all of the other parts working together, that's always one of my favorite things about listening to music, is just how everything plays together, how the different voices blend together. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the picture of the church and what the church is really supposed to be, it's all about unity, and it's all about what each person supplies, and it's what each person does in their own parts to work together and building up something bigger than one person. And that's a perfect picture of what happens when we sing. You know, it's just this idea of harmony in a metaphorical and an actual sense.
Yeah, yeah. Paul talks about, I think it's Paul, maybe in Romans, I can't remember where, talks about praising God with one voice.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So we could be divided, we could be dissonant with each other, we could have this haphazard arrangement of our song, or we can be united, we can have harmony. And that is not at all to say that, you know, somebody who is not very good at singing shouldn't sing in public worship. But, you know, it's just the idea that we all have a part in this, and we can all teach each other. And then on the topic of listening, we all benefit from hearing what each other supplies to that conversation that we have in singing.
So I have a recommendation for a book that I just got, and it was referenced on Facebook by a friend of a friend. And so this is another part of the morning ritual that it's something I've added, and I'm playing with it. I just have started it recently, but it's, yeah, this metrical Psalter, and there's different ones. If you look on Amazon, we have a link to this one in the show notes, and it's been really neat to just experience the Word of God in a different way. Not that we don't sing hymns, sing psalms sometimes, but to go through one by one instead of reading through the book of Psalms, to be able to sing through the book of Psalms. So I'm going to go ahead and commit to you right now, just because I need somebody to hold me accountable for staying on track, that this year I'm going to sing through all 150 psalms using this book.
So I actually just bought this book while you were talking, so...
Oh, yeah, I got it on, I think it's $25 on either paper or on Kindle. I like having it with me everywhere my iPhone or my Kindle is. So,
yeah.
So I did that, but yeah, it's been worth it. It's a good introduction too. Good, really short introduction to the book of Psalms. And then, yeah, there's a reference for getting melodies that you don't know. So I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's cool. All right. So give us the challenge for this week.
All right. Well, the challenge, just a simple challenge, to sing a spiritual song every day this week.
That sounds really hard.
You just have to have a reminder sometimes. I mean, in a crazy day, maybe if it's not built into a ritual,
yeah,
you know, set an alarm or something, or put it in your notes. But yeah, just, it could be in the morning, could be, you know, just while you're driving, sing a song. But yeah, find something, you know, a song, you know, that you can take with you and sing it sometime every day this week.
Yeah, sounds fun. All right, man. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the Bible Geeks podcast. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go follow along. We're /TheBibleGeeks everywhere you might find us. Head on over to our website at BibleGeeks.fm. And if you have any questions and you'd like to send us an email, click the email us link at the top of the page and shoot us a message, and we'll be in touch. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
See ya.